This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
You are be commended. You made it here on time. You navigated the closed roads. You made a plan and you got here. Maybe you joined us for breakfast so that you would know you weren't caught up in the race traffic. And if you saw the end of the race traffic, I bet you could recognize the racers on the street. They had, of course, their numbers pinned on, and because it's cold and windy today, a lot of them were wearing really technical clothing to keep themselves warm, but that was light, so they could run fast. And even our own Deacon Carter ran the race, and I could tell when he arrived, even though he'd changed out of his race clothes, you could tell he'd been through it this morning. These racers, our neighbors all around us, are marked today by their dedication to their sport. You did not need to know any of them individually to recognize that they were devoted to what they were up to this morning. You could see them as we encountered them on our way in this morning. And in our gospel passage today, we meet Mary, who is also marked by her dedication, marked by her devotion to Christ. When John introduces Mary a few chapters before this, he says, "Mary, the one who anointed Jesus' feet." He hasn't even told us that story yet, but apparently her reputation, this moment, has preceded her. So much so that John trusts that his first listeners and readers, when he says the one who anointed Jesus' feet, they'll know what he's talking about. They will have heard of this act of devotion. Mary is marked by her devotion, so much so that it almost becomes a second last name for her. Mary, the one who anointed Jesus' feet. And all the times we encounter Mary in the Gospels, this Mary, she is marked by her devotion to Christ. She is the one who wishes Jesus had been there when her brother died. And when she sees him after Lazarus has died, she knows it would be better if Jesus had been there before. And yet she's still so comforted by his presence, even in her grief. She is the one who chooses to stay at Jesus' feet, even while her sister is busy in the kitchen, even while men around her tell her she should be doing something else. She is marked by her devotion to Christ every time we encounter her. And today, she takes out this nard, this costly perfume, and she pours it over Jesus' feet, and she wipes it with her hair. John tells us that the smell of that perfume filled the whole house. Everyone at that dinner party could smell Mary's act of devotion. I imagine that you know of some smells that have filled a whole house. Maybe the smell of your favorite dish when you're coming home after a long absence and someone who loves you has gone to the trouble to make sure it's prepared and waiting for you. The way that smell fills that house. Or maybe you, like me, have some family members who are perhaps a little too devoted to scented candles, so that the smell of that beautifully scented wax might be just a bit much in filling the house. It might have been a little bit like that in that house in Bethany, too. Nard is strong perfume. It's used to anoint the bodies of the dead for burial. And so you want a strong smell so that you can do that work of caring for your loved one in those last acts. You want a strong smell to cover other things that you might smell in those moments. And it would have been very much associated with the rituals around death and dying and preparing bodies for everyone at that dinner table. So when John says the smell filled the whole house, it's a strong smell, it's a beautiful smell, but it is also the smell of death to the people who are there at that table. Mary might have put together that Jesus' death was near. Lazarus being risen, being called out by Jesus from his tomb, was a scandal. The authorities and religious powers of the day had no explanation for how Jesus got that power. And it's that act, Lazarus' restoration to life, that begins the plots that lead to Jesus' death. They're plotting not only to kill Jesus, but also to kill Lazarus. They want to bury this story. They want it to be dead again. And maybe that's why Mary chose the nard of all the perfumes for that day. She knows that death is very near. And she wipes it with her hair. Maybe she's used too much and realizes it's going to spill out on the floor. I can imagine her taking that long braid or ponytail and swiping up all that excess. It must have lingered with her all through the days that came. As her hair absorbed that costly, strong perfume, it wouldn't have washed away easily. And as she went about all the rest of her work and her life in the days to come, as Jesus made his entry into Jerusalem and the events that came after that, that smell of nard must have lingered on Mary. When she went out into the shops and turned her head, it would have stirred it up. Might have been on the hem of her garments, certainly in her hair for much longer than it was in the house. Maybe that's part of why she's known for it. That smell stayed with her for days after it happened. She was marked by her devotion on her body, in the way she smelled, in her moves, in her actions. That memory lingered with her. And with all the people who knew her and encountered her in those days that followed, they could smell this act of devotion that she'd committed for Christ. We also went around a few weeks ago, marked by our devotion, those of us who made it here for Ash Wednesday or found another way to join in that ritual, walked around with the ashes on our forehead, marked by our devotion, as we began this season, marked physically and for everyone to see as Christians taking on this journey together once again. And we will carry it in our body today as well. You will come up to this table, not that different than the one that Jesus shared with Mary and Martha and Lazarus, and you will take him into your body in the bread and the wine that he shares with us, that he calls us to join with him in. He will be in you, and you will be in him. You too will leave this place marked by your devotion. How will the people you encounter this next week perceive that? What whiffs of your dedication might they catch? How will your devotion be made evident in the world as you leave this place? Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.